Let's go. We're here in the book of Mark. Let's call this a day in the life of Jesus. Let's look in the fourth chapter there. The same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, let's pass over to the other side. When evening was come. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as in a ship. There was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And when they woke him, they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He just got through teaching them all about it. And they went to sleep and said, Let's go to the other side. Well, instead of acting on what he said, they woke him up. So he's indicating here, you could have done exactly the same thing I did. And he's also telling them, I did this by faith. Where's your faith? You heard me preach all day. And he was tired and wanted some sleep. And the devil tried to drown him before he could get over to the other side. Drowned him. Boy, I'm country today, right? Okay. They came unto the other side of the sea into a country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, the Spirit of God by the Apostle Paul in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians just pulled the curtain up off of the devil and his whole operation. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, starting from the bottom up, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are the ones that possess people. And wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Those are political devils. You find that in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel went on a partial fast. It wound up lasting 21 days. But when Gabriel came to him, Gabriel said, Fear not, Daniel. I'm paraphrasing. We heard you the first day. And it's 3 weeks later. He said, The prince of Persia, which is Iran, and that prince still lives there. And that same prince to do everything he can to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. The prince of Persia withstood me. But Michael came and helped me. That's the reason Gabriel's a messenger. He's not a fighter. But he had to call the archangel of war. He came and helped me. So I'm going to give you this message, and he did. And he said, when I depart, the prince of Greece will come. Those are wicked spirits in the heavenlies. They're political devils. That's the reason people in this nation and others all over the world give all kinds of promises on the campaign trail, and they get to Washington and they turn around and do just exactly what they said they wouldn't do, and they don't do what they said they would do. And have no idea that this even exists. But that's the reason some of us need to be praying. Because I don't care who's in that office. I don't care who they are. They don't need to be harassed by the devil all the time. Particularly if they have no defense for it. So, I wanted you to see that right here in what the Spirit of God put in this. He had one unclean spirit, a ruler of the darkness of this world. Then we're going to see principalities and powers in this. Now, I've had considerable amount of experience in this. I've had devils talk to me more than once. The first time it scared me so bad, I ran out of the room. I had a friend of mine, Charles Rogers, back there then. He invited me to go with him in a meeting. And my job was just to sing there, so I did. And a woman came to Charles Rogers, and said, "Would you come to the hospital and pray for my mother?" She said, "I really don't know whether she's saved or not." So then he invited me to go. And I was just standing here at the foot of the bed. Now, back in those days, in fact, I can tell you exactly what I weighed because I know what I said when I got outside. I weighed 240 pounds. And I was just standing there at the foot of the bed, and she was just on her back. And they were discussing her when suddenly, I couldn't tell how old she was. She looked like she's old, man. I mean, in the hospital about to die. She just raised straight up and said, "Sick, boy, sick!" I'm telling you, chills ran all over me, and my hair just stood straight up. I ran outside in the hall. And I got out there, and I was ashamed of myself. I said, "You 240 pounds, and that little 95-pound woman scared you off." But I recognized it was a spirit. I said, "I'll never run from another one." I was in Jamaica and preaching up in the mountains, and the young man that was driving for me, we were headed to the meeting place. And I was far back up in the mountains there. There a lot of people had no electricity. And he said, "Can we stop and pray for a woman?" I said, "Well, sure." And he was getting in the car. He said, "She's mad." I said, "What?" He said, "She's crazy. She's mad." So we got there and went in this house, and it was dark, and, you know, just kerosene lanterns, oil lanterns. And we went through. It looked like going into something you'd build for Halloween. And I saw some, look, on the way back to this back bedroom, I saw some that I thought might qualify. Boy, that's a spooky looking bunch of people. But I walked in there. Oh, man. Here was this little woman on an old mattress, just an old cotton ticking mattress, no cover on the mattress at all. You know, one of those old strapping mattresses, just cotton. She was sitting there. She had a little stick. It was... You could tell it had been pulled off a tree about that long. And she had a red bandana, and everything she owned in that bandana tied on the end of that stick. There was a pastor and the man that was helping me, the name of Earl. He a former Marine and a man of God. So we walked in there. The bed's like this. She's facing us on her heels, on her haunches, like that. So we walked in there. Now, I'm saying this because there are people going to get delivered right now. And we have to read this. And walked up there. Now, I didn't know anything about her yet, which is good. And we just walked up there, and I was just looking at her. Her head was down, and she turned and raised her head to the other man that's on my right over here, which was Earl. The pastor was over here. And she said, "You must be Brother Weber." That was a radio preacher back in those days. No, ma'am, he said, I'm not.
You must be Oral Roberts.
He said, no, I'm not.
I know who you are, and you're afraid of anything that isn't flesh and blood.
I said, I have no fear of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I said, come on, baby, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ sent me here to, look at me, sent me here today to tell you that he loves you. And she kind of went around. Now, I said, look at me. I said, he sent me here to tell you, Jesus sent me to tell you that he loves you. And I saw her eyes change. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. And that's where it is in the eyes. So we went on to the meeting place, and then he told me the story. Then she is a young girl. She was working as a waitress, and there's a group came to town. And she went to the meeting, and she accepted Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. And she got so excited. She was so thrilled. And she bought a new dress. And she had her nails done and had her hair done. And so she didn't know one church from another. And so she got up on Sunday, and she went to church. And she started in the church, and she said, what is this person stood up there and said, what is that on your fingernails? And grabbed some fingernail polish remover and started taking it off. You have cut your hair. And they said, Jesus does not love any woman that cuts their hair. And she was not allowed in there. Well, she got that on her mind, and it just went on and on. And the devil kept telling her, he doesn't love you, he doesn't love you, he doesn't love you, he doesn't love you, he doesn't love you. So she went back to her folks up there in the mountains, and they didn't know anything. And she wound up, I found out, she'd been on that bed for 18 years. But by the Spirit, the Lord said, tell her I love her, and ended it. Praise God. And often bound with fetters or shackles and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the shackles broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God and Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. For Jesus had said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So this was the boss devil from 3,000 to 6,000 principalities and powers were under his control. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of that country, so Jesus didn't. Now there was nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils, all of them besought him, saying. Now, the people heard that other. They didn't hear this. They heard what came out of that man's mouth. But Jesus is the one that heard this. Forthwith, Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and was choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what was done. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they saw, and he told her how it befell, that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. But he said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. He departed and began to publish. He began to preach in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. All men did marvel. Where did they get the clothes? I mean, he didn't turn around to Peter and say, take your clothes off and give it to him. No, that didn't work. Faith prepares before it goes.
That's right, that's right.
Jesus knew what he was going to do. And he's going to call this man to preach, and he's going to have to clean him up. So he just said, Judas, take some money out of the bag, out of the treasury, and let's go get this man some clothes. Because you're going to learn something today. I'm going to call him to preach, and we're going to send him home well-dressed. Does that thrill you like it does me? Oh, glory to God. Well, so then the ship on the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So he went on across there. He's going home now. The day before, he got into a storm and all that, and he's going to go to Capernaum. Let's go home. We've had a good day. And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she'll live. That's the last thing Jairus said. And Jesus went with him. My, he's easy, isn't he? Okay, I'll go with you. You know, got that man off and got him started in his ministry. And I did get a little sleep in that storm. But I'm going home now. And Jairus was waiting for him. Well, so was a whole lot of other people. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, here it is. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now you read the other accounts of this. It says, if I may touch but the hem of his garment. Jesus dressed as a rabbi. And his prayer shawl, or called his tent, would be outside, on the inside of his tunic, but then all the way down close to the top of his sandals, the hem of his garment, and that prayer shawl, every Jew knew in the rabbi that that's where the anointing was. The blue represented the anointing. So, and straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately, it dried up, and then she felt it. So she believed it first. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power, dunamis, the singular of that, dynamon, is the Greek word where we get dynamite. It's even spelled the same way, English phonetically. Dynamon, power. immediately knowing in himself that power or anointing had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude thronging you and say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around about her to see that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, that's how we know that all of this that had happened to her, because she told him. So now, Jairus has a problem. What's he going to do? She lies at the point of death. So Jesus is standing there listening to her to tell about all these physicians and that she'd had this all these years. Nothing better, but rather grew worse. So she must have forgiven the physicians, because faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. So Jairus is just standing there listening to all this. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague." Now, not only she was made whole, so that means that all that she had, she evidently was a woman of means. She spent a lot of money on physicians. Didn't get any better, just got worse. How long? 12 years. So figure out how old Jesus was when this started. He wasn't even in the ministry yet. The woman that was bowed over for 18 years. That started before Jesus was in the ministry. But the devil did it. Well, the thing of it is, the leader of that synagogue could have ministered to her over 18 years, but he wouldn't do it. And he got mad at Jesus because he did. Because it is all, it's in the covenant book. The healing for all of these things is in that Bible.
So basically back in October of 2021, she got very sick. So we went to Children's Mercy, and basically as soon as we went into the emergency room, like, the nurse immediately said, "Oh, she has diabetes. She's in DKA. The whole time in my mind is, I'm not receiving that for her, because I know I'm under the blood covenant. We are under the blessing, and I receive our healing for even for my children. As far as me, I've been having really some eye troubles ever since I've had my kids with bright lights. And I also had some back pain, and just I started getting heart pain because I just felt like the enemy was really trying to attack me. Like, he didn't want me to come here. And I was just persistent. I said, no. I said, not today, devil. She kept urging me while we were sitting there. She's like, Mama, I really want to go up there. I really want to go up there. I was like, okay.
I've been type 1 diabetes, and I don't like it. And I want to be healed because I am healed.
Yes, amen.
I kept looking at her numbers, and it was above 200. And as soon as, you know, we were receiving our healing and our faith in that area, I was looking and I saw her numbers dropping, and it's been so far consistent in between the ranges that it needs to be. So it was above 200. Now it's between 150 to 190. So that's, to me, I feel like that's, you know, evidence in itself.
One of God's names in the Old Testament is God your healer. If that's who he was then, you can be sure he's the same healer for you today.
I will take sickness from the midst of you. I will fulfill the number of your days.
Find out that God has much to say about your healing with Healing Promises, a book by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. This collection of scriptures on healing shares each Bible passage in four different translations to help you study the meaning of each verse and get it deep in your heart. Use Healing Promises as a guide to confess God's word over your life every day. Whether you need healing now or want to maintain strength and health all your days, the Word of God is your answer. Take it like medicine and see your faith grow. Meditate on God's healing promises and allow it to go to work. It brings life to your entire being, spirit, soul, and body. The same healing power you read about in the Bible is still available today. Request your free copy of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's book, Healing Promises, available at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Take hold of God's healing promises for you and receive your healing. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. For more information, contact your regional office today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. This week, Brother Copeland is teaching us how to release our faith for healing. Once you know the truth that Jesus has already done all the work, he defeated all the curse that includes every sickness and disease. You are no longer the sick trying to get healed. Healing belongs to you. To help you continue to grow in the Word, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to give you their Healing Promises book. They gathered in one book healing scriptures in four different translations to help you practically apply God's word to your life. This is a great resource for your faith library. Now, to request your free Healing Promises book, go to kcm.org. Before we leave today, I want to pray for your healing. Father, your hands are open wide and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. For behold, the earth is full of your goodness. On behalf of your people, I invoke the blessing of life and the blessing of healing on them, for you love them so much according to the riches of your goodness. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need prayer for something specific, KCM has a prayer line you can call. We have licensed prayer ministers who are trained in the Word of God, and when you call, they will pray the scriptures in faith with you. Now, write those scriptures down and keep them with you. Continue to confess and declare your victory. We have prayer ministers in all of our KCM offices around the world. To contact the office nearest you, go to kcm.org for all the information. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls kcm.org.uk your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.